Today we read from Srimad Bhagavata. We carry on with the 10th canto, and it's chapter 10. These verse today are which one is on the board? 30 to 32, yeah? 31, 32. So which one? 32 is on the board. Okay. So this is the deliverance of the Yamala Arjun trees. Translation with a purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya Prabhupada. Here it goes. These are the two demigods, the son of Kuberas, speaking, just to remind you who is talking here on this translation. And they're offering their prayers to Lord Krishna. O Lord, you exist before the creation. Therefore, who, trapped by a body of material qualities in this material world, can understand you? As it is said, no, this is a purport. As it is said, Atahashi Krishna Namadi Nabhaved Grayam Indriyai Sevon Mukhe Hijavadayu Svayam Heva Spuratyada. This is from the Srila Rupa Goswami Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Famous verse. Krishna's name, attributes, and form are absolute truth, existing before the creation. Therefore, how can those who are created, that is, those entrapped in bodies created of material elements, understand Krishna perfectly? This is not possible. But, Sevon Mukhe Hijivadau Svayam Eva Spurati Ada. Krishna reveals himself to those engaged in devotional service. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 18:15 by the Lord himself. 18:15. It should be 18:55, isn't it? I think it's 18 by the Lord himself. Bhakya mamma vijayanati Yamanyas Chasmitatvada. That's 18:55. Is it correct, Sutapa? But does it say 18:15 on yours? 18:55. Yes, it says 18:15. Okay, so there's a little mistake on this book. But never mind. This is the famous verse which comes at the end of the Gita. 1855. Is it correct? 1855 is 8 Bhakti Mama Vijanati. Even the descriptions of Krishna in Srimad Bhagavatam are sometimes misunderstood by less intelligent man with a poor fund of knowledge. Therefore, the best course by which to know him is to engage oneself in pure devotional service. The more one advances in devotional service, the more one can understand him as he is. If from the material platform one could understand Krishna, then, since Krishna is everything, sarva kalv idam brahma, one could understand Krishna by seeing anything within this material world. One could understand Krishna by seeing anything within this material world, but that is not possible. Maya tatam idam sarvam jagatam avyakta murtina matstani sarvabhutani nachaham teshvastita. That's Bhagavad Gita 9:4. Everything is resting on Krishna, and everything is Krishna. but this is not to be realized by persons on the material platform. End of purport. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuru Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Datati Svapadandikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhattavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. Mukam karoti vachalam pangalam gayate girim. Yakripa tamaham bande shiguru dinatarinam. By the mercy of the spiritual master, a lame man can cross mountains. By the mercy of the spiritual master, blind men can see stars in the sky. By the mercy of the spiritual master, a dumb man like me can speak eloquently. I offer my humble obeisances today to the feet of my spiritual master. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Shimati Tamala Krishna Goswami Niti Namne. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Shimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namne. Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskara Desatarine Vanchakalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyavacha Pritanam Pavani Vyo Vishnavi Vyo Namo Nama. O Lord, you exist before the creation. Therefore, who trapped by a body of material qualities in this material world can understand you? This young man, after standing as a tree in the courtyard of Lord Shri Krishna, they came to great purification, great realizations. It is a great penance to be born as a tree. You have to stand in the same place, very frustrating, you can't move. If you have some fruit, you have animals, people picking the fruits, climbing on you, cutting you down, cutting the branches, getting flowers, and then the wind comes, the storm comes. And you have to tolerate. We have a prayer, more tolerant than the tree, humble than a blade of grass. Blade of grass is so humble that it's a perfect analogy because even if you step on a blade of grass, it doesn't complain and it doesn't rebel against the crash. And not only that, it's like if you have a look, when you walk, blade of grass, you walk on it, goes down, flat down, and then it comes up again. It's like offering dandavat. Blade of grass offers dandavat. So, they used to say that great realizations, they're born only in the field of suffering, in the field of penance. If we are, that is why austerity is recommended. It's not self-punishment, it's austerity is good. Sometimes when we deprive ourselves of sense gratification, then you start to see. You start to feel the calling of God in your heart. And then you start to feel Krishna in everything, everywhere, just like in this verse. And Prabhupada says, you know, a good devotee, he starts to see, to feel the Lord everywhere. Sarvakarana karanam. But we cannot see, we cannot feel at the moment because Atahashi Krishna Namadi, Nabhaved Griam Indriyani. Because the senses, they are covered, contaminated, infected. They are actually in diseased condition. Therefore, they are not functioning in the proper way. Because the nature of the senses is to actually sense Krishna. That is the metaphysics. Meta means, in Italian, it's a kind of a Latin word. Metaphysics means, meta means destination, beyond physics, beyond the physics, beyond the perceivable. So when we sense something from far, far away, or sense something from within us, especially if we sense the presence of the Supreme, that is because the senses are free from contamination and they are enjoying the sensitive feeling of the of this harmony to feel Krishna. Because when the senses are covered, it's very difficult to perceive the reality. What is it? Rishikesha Rishikenam Sevanam Bhakti Ruchate. Rishikesha Rishikenam Sevanam Bhakti Ruchate. The senses, they become normal by the power of devotional service. And then the master, then you realize that actually the master of the senses, Rishikesh, is perceived, Rishikenam. By the power of devotional service, we perceive something with our senses. Now here, brothers, they are saying, therefore, who, trapped by a body or material qualities in this material world, can understand you? Very difficult to understand Krishna, to perceive Krishna. Very, very difficult. we could say that when you are in love with something or someone, it's because we can perceive some value in that person. That person has some value. It could be beauty, wealth. It could be fame. It could be renunciation. So that is the attraction. That is the attraction that we feel. It has to be based on something. So we may think, how can I was with Ridhananda Maharaj a few days ago. There was about 100 devotees there. And I asked the question at the end, because he gave a very beautiful talk. He said that love actually, it's based on attraction. If you are not attracted to something, you're not in love. How can you be attracted to an item or someone which has no value. So when I ask the question, if we, maybe Krishna has a value, or maybe you are of a value to Krishna because you are an exalted person, intelligent, you speak well, you express your bhakti nicely, you preach, you are helping. But hypothetically, someone or even myself, I have nothing of a value. How can possibly Krishna being obliged to love me, to love someone who has no value, who doesn't have this? If I have no love for the nature, for Krishna, so how does the Lord love me? But he gave a good example, you know, that the senses, it was all about this. Because just like a child is born, he has not fully grown his potential of a beauty, power, knowledge. Does that mean that the father doesn't love him? So when we are entrapped in this material world, covered in this material world, of course Krishna, he loves us. But that love comes in a different way and is expressed into the concern of his representative and comes in the form of mercy, pity. Someone who has no value, usually when I see a homeless person, I feel pity, I feel compassionate. There is someone who sits down outside the Sainsbury every time I go with my wife to do the shopping, so I buy him a vegetarian sandwich, so he knows the routine. Because I feel I may not have that type of love, which I appreciate some kind of value in that person, because he's suffering. So therefore, I feel compassionate. So love comes out in different ways, like compassion, mercy, understanding. You have a relative who is in hospital and he's sick. Now, what value has that person? He has no value in terms of he can't work, he can't produce any money, he can't do anything to maintain his family. When you're sick, the body is poisoned. When you're sick, you have no power of knowledge. You can't even remember what's going on. The bodily beauty, the luster diminishes. So you feel, but it doesn't mean that you don't love that person. Does it make sense? So that's the way Krishna views, or actually he values the conditioned soul. Like a very nice Srila Prabhupada once, these are very beautiful. I always meditate on this. There was one devotee went to Srila Prabhupada and said, such and such has a serious problem. What to do with him? And Prabhupada said, you don't do anything. You know, let's be patient. Be patient, the problem will go. You have a tooth, Prabhupada said, do you have a problem yourself? He said, no, I don't have any problem. So Prabhupada said, there you are. I've got two types of devotees, those with problems and those with no problems. So, but both they are devotees. So that is the situation, the reality. We may think ourselves, I am a devotee. And we may think of these people walking around in the street, they are karmi. We form this kind of sectarian philosophy in our consciousness, us and them. I am devotee, they are karmi. I am liberate, liberated. And they are entangled in this material energy. And this is how we view the world, the way we feel. Very often we think we join ISKCON, we join the association of sandally person, and then some little bit of anartha, they fly away. And then we feel a little bit relieved. And then we think, oh, I'm liberated. I've gone a long way. And then we start to think of other people, they are less than me, I'm more advanced. See, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, he gave a very nice statement, Jai Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. In Kali Yuga, our measuring road is our pride. The pride is actually our measuring road. You know, the measuring, how do you call it in English? Whatever. You understand what I mean? When you want to measure 1 meter, 2 meters. So we measure things with our pride. I'm a little bit more advanced than that person, a little bit more intelligent than him. I'm exalted, I'm this, I'm that. So this is the consciousness, when the consciousness is actually is another form of upadhi. And the acharya, they say, sarva upadhi, vinir muktam. If you want liberation, if you want really sense the reality, then you have to become free from all the upadhi, including the pride of being a good devotee. Because it's a trap. This measuring road, this pride, it makes us developing this prejudiced or judgmental opinion about another devotee or about somebody else who is less intelligent than us. And but this is not the way. We think that person has no of a value. We undermine the values of something which exists. I was thinking the other day, if Krishna creates someone which has no value, or something which has no value, then what kind of God is it? It's a stupid God, in my opinion. Because he doesn't actually create anything which has no value. That's why everything is in Krishna is in everything, and everything is in him. Everything has value, whether it's material or spiritual. And of course we're attracted by God because he has the greatest values: beauty, power, fame, knowledge, renunciation, wealth. These are all the things that are of a value. And everybody is running after those values. Whether they are in objects or whether they are in a person. Attraction is based on estimating the value of the object. More you are attracted to something, more you fall in love with it. So why not being attracted to the origin of all the all these beautiful things? Like I'm an artist myself. I was brought up in a monastery where I did a scuola belle arti, art and singing, music, things like that. I feel like a little bit like an artist. And I, most of my youth, I painted and also sold art. And it's interesting, I went to a wealthy family home. They appreciate, they fell in love with one painting that I had. It was I think it was Mediterranean scene with the sunset, with so many nice little things in it. And then somehow or another he paid some interest in me. He said, oh, you are, I painted that painting. But then I said, you know, I do it for maintaining my family, but I am a priest from the Hare Krishna temple. So he was asking me a lot of questions. At that time I was shaved up, so he was intrigued to understand. He was more intrigued, interested in me than in the painting. And then but we were talking about God, but he said, but I don't believe in God. And it was very interesting. I said, but you see, it doesn't make sense to me. Can I ask you a question? I said, you believe in God, but you're not aware that God is within you and is around you. And I can give you a tangible example. I said, this is a painting here. You fall in love with it. But then, once you understood who is the artist, then you were more interested in me. Said, oh, because he asked me, how many more have you got? Have you produced any more? Something like this. And I said, well, I've got a few more. So I said, just like some people, they appreciated the painting, the art. Those who are a little bit more intelligent, they understand that there must be an artist behind, you know, this painting. Isn't it? Every painting, it's not self-manifested. So I said, so look around, look outside the window now. Beautiful creation. Look, the flowers, the tree, the sky, the sun, there's water, there's everything is there, not by chance. The creation. If there is a creation, there must be a creator. Do you agree with me? I said. Then it was silence. You have a painting, there must be an artist. There is a creation, there must be a creator. It's imperative. It's not option. It's not something, maybe there is someone, or maybe not. Because you're looking at the tangible reality of the nature, cosmic manifestation. Planet floating in the air. What doesn't fall down? The clouds, the sunshine, it's mained, you know, to the moon. Everything, you know, it's like has a function, has some value. And that value is like the sun, it keeps us warm, gives us light. Without the sun, you can't see. Dyumna. Dyumna and Chandra, they're actually the eyes of Krishna. We can see through the eyes of Krishna. He's actually, through the Virat Rupa, is making possible for us to see through the eyes of Krishna. Because without his eyes, we can't see. It's very dark. The moon at night, you know, gives light. We can see. Daytime, the sunshine comes up. We can see. Otherwise, everything will be dark. We couldn't see anything. So when we understand these things, then after appreciating these values, then we start to see Krishna everywhere. Not only within ourselves, but also beyond the metaphysics. Metaphysics means, you know, beyond your perception. That God is in your heart, and it's in the heart of a hand. It's in the word. It's in the iron, it's in the water, it's in the fire. The Brahma Samhita explains, you know, that you open up the smallest particle of matter, which could be the atom. You open up, they say there is a Paramatma in it. Krishna is in every atom. And even in the covering, you may say, okay, you split up the atom. Inside there is Paramatma. What about the covering? Still you will find Krishna in it. There is nothing where there is not impregnated by God. That is God consciousness. When we see everything in relationship with Krishna. So Krishna, it's not that he gives his values only to the devotees. It's not that just everyone runs after a sannyasi or a guru because that person has some value. Okay, maybe embodied, imbibed with a great renunciation or bhakti. That's fine. But Krishna, he can empower anybody. Like the other day we were hearing from Hridayananda Maharaj, Jane Austen, this lady, very godly person in goodness. And she was enriched with a religiosity and morality. Now, you may say, okay, but what concept is that about Krishna, about God? Or maybe she was eating meat. What has it got to do with God, with our society? So this is our concept. We try to measure people. We think, why God has empowered the Theresa May to be the Prime Minister of UK? It's his prerogative. Why he hasn't put Radhanath Swami as the Prime Minister or the President of America? No. Everything that is going on in this world, it's by the sanction of God. There are some values in these people. Very often we tend to denigrate them, materialistic people. Everybody has something. We are all useful in the eyes of God, but nobody is necessary. Of course, when we understand these things, then we acquire value. Krishna likes us very much. Of course, the ultimate act of understanding, the ultimate act of love is to surrender to this source of everything. Sarva Karana Karanam. And that's what happened with these two brothers. To be the sons of demigods is not a small thing. The sons of Kuvera, the wealthiest person in the universe, wealthy than any other demigods. And the two children, they said, you know, they were spoiled, but because Atahashi Krishna Namadi, their senses, they were covered. They couldn't even perceive the purity or the saintly presence of Narada Muni. And therefore, they had to be rectified. The so-called reaction, punishment. We call it punishment. Actually, suffering is not punishment. You have a Shabda Brahman, you understand things just by hearing. That's the most perfect, intelligent way how to understand God without suffering. Then Anuman, by logic and reason. Bhavanam jamanam vante yamanam prapadyate. Great yogi, great learned persons. After millions and millions of life, they understand Krishna. That's Anuman. People, they sit down, they debate about the absolute truth. That's Anuman. But then there is another one, Pratyaksha. Pratyaksha is that's what the two brothers, they went through. Suffering. So Krishna gives, you commit sinful activities. It's not punishing you. He's not punishing us. We're blessed with the pratyaksha. Pratyaksha means sense perception. We have to perceive some pain in order to understand. And that pain will purify the contamination. So either we accept it as becoming, when we become brahmachari, it's like we're self-inflicting. No, we bait ourselves into the concept of austerity. And that is voluntarily accepting suffering, discipline. It's because we know that it's good. It's good for becoming sober. That is the word, sober. Sannyasi is very well respected in our society because they don't engage in sense gratification. And they are known for being renounced, brahmachari. And then you will see all the goods that come out, knowledge, bhakti, surrender, humility. Humility is actually the springboard, is the breathing field where bhakti is born. Without humility, there is no chance of becoming devotional. Without humility, you can't feel any compassion. Without humility, you can't feel any pity. So that's why there is three types of love, just like Narada Muni explained to Dhruva Maharaj in the, what is it, fourth canto. Learn these three types of relationship. Those are three different ways how to discharge love, exchange love, receiving love. When you see someone less than you, let's say, you know, a new devotee comes in as a newborn baby. So he has no value. But he's actually surrendering. He maybe has no knowledge. He doesn't know the verses that the so-called number of every one of us, we know some verses. 70 verses. Somebody knows 90 verses. Another one. But that's not the goal of life. So a newborn devotee, you feel compassionate. That is the love we give in the form of care, compassion, and even to the so-called karmi. They are actually all devotee of Krishna. We go out to meet. That's why he says in the Gita, one who preaches this message to my devotees is very dear to me, but no one will ever be more dear to me. He doesn't say one who preaches this message to karmi. Krishna says to my devotees. See, there is a Krishna in the heart of everyone. So, when you see someone less intelligent, you show compassion. When you see someone equal to you, you exchange love, friendship. You give and take love from that person. When you see someone higher than you, then you offer your love in the form of service. You serve that person. But Prabhupada says, you know, the all the problems, if you read that verse, actually it gives the formula how to become peaceful and happy in this world. And because we all bridge that formula, it causes so much. It's the root cause of all the suffering in the world. When we see, Prabhupada says at the end, when we see someone less intelligent, instead of being compassionate, we deride or denigrate that person, or criticize that person, or has no value. When we see someone equal, instead of making friendship, we become arrogant, try to judge that person, and then we feel higher, greater. Instead of making friendship, you challenge that person. Competition, we find very often. was Tamal Krishna Maharaj said once, very often competition is also between devotees who have the same type of service or the same number of years they've been in ISKCON or the same time they've been initiated or maybe the same knowledge. But it's always safe. It's beautiful to be humble. It's safe because no matter how advanced we are, if you give a smile, you know, to someone who is less than you or more than you, you're always safe. Give a smile and make a statement, I am your servant. We receive a name like we heard yesterday. Very often we forget the second part of our name, which is the most important thing. Thus, we forget we are servants. But not just servant of God or the Guru. This is very neophyte, to just serve God and the Guru. What about the devotees? Even forget about devotees. What about the karmis? Forget about the karmi. What about the animals? What about the nature? Because when you see Krishna in everything, then you feel to serve that thing. Does it make sense? You see Krishna in something, so I have to serve that thing. So then when we see someone higher than us, instead of appreciating that person, instead of serving that person, then we are envious. Prabhupada said, this is the root cause of all the problems in the world. Wars, everything. Political disagreement. Cow slaughtering. So the world is going on and we're trying to... Bhagavatam is actually the only light. It gives us a glimpse how to understand the environment. How to understand the environment of our body. Who are we? What is the soul? What is this body? What is the senses? What is the mind? What is this matter? So, by reading Bhagavatam, you can understand these two brothers. They're great preachers here. They opened up their eyes. And Premanjana Charita Bhakti Vilochanena. When the senses are purified, then you can see God. They became delivered by Krishna. And these beautiful values, they came about. And they start to pray. That's what happened to us one day. No matter in what state we are, don't worry. You're not a guru, you're not a sannyasi, you're not a great devotee. Whatever you are, there will be a day. There will be a day, one day, that you will be offering prayers like this to Krishna. It happened to all of us. We are on a journey. We are on a journey and there will be in this metaphysics, there will be a destination on this journey. And that is, one day we will be praying like this when the senses are, they achieve freedom from the contamination. So I stop here on this note and ask if there is any questions.